Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 4 of the OC Sports Podcast. I am Manny Alvarez. Joining me are two writers from the Orange County Register, OC Varsity. We got Dan Albano and Michael Hundley. Dan, thanks for being on.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Sorry about my raspy voice. I've been fighting a cold for a few days.
No worry. You sound a lot better than when I saw you on Saturday, so improving.
That's good.
And then we got Michael Hundley. Michael, thanks for coming back again.
Anytime, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, guys, of course, we'll be talking about the North and South All-Star Game, OC All-Star Classic at the OCC. South's been running a lot of big momentum and low-scoring game. You know, they rode on those Mission Viejo guys. Dan, you were there with me, sitting next to me. You wrote the story. You know, just give us a quick recap as to on Saturday's game.
Well, it was South getting off to a fast start offensively. Like you said, Manny, it was a low-scoring game. But South found some rhythm early with James Mott, St. Margaret's quarterback, who's going to University of Chicago. You know, he got some early connections with JoJo Forrest of Mission Viejo, signed with Oregon State. I think that kind of settled South a little bit, gave him some confidence. They didn't score like anything on their opening drive, but they ended up being pretty opportunistic later in the first half. And we were able to turn a couple turnovers into some points. Mott threw about a 30-yard touchdown to a wide-open Eric McGloyer of Huntington Beach, uncommitted senior, who looked really good in the game, that receiver. And then he later threw about a 35-yard touchdown to Jadel Jenkins of San Clemente, receiver, recent Columbia commit. So that was off a couple turnovers, you know, interception. Davian Woolard, who recently committed Air Force from Mission Viejo, he had an interception. Maybe Sir Barnes of linebacker, Mission Viejo, also recovered a fumble. So they got up 13-0. And then, you know, the North had its best drive at the end of the first half, engineered by, you know, record-setting Western quarterback Anthony Munoz, threw a short touchdown in the final seconds of the first half to Kalani Washington, slot receiver of La Habra. And that made it 13-7 and a half. And then all it was in the second half was, you know, a field goal by the South for that 16-7 final. So basically I thought that, you know, South looked, you know, faster on both sides of the ball. Of course, can't do the recap without mentioning Victor Clanton. You know, it's speed at defensive end. He's a linebacker from Jay Serra, uncommitted. They moved him, you know, he kind of moved himself, or they moved him to defensive end for the game. And he had 4.5 sacks. And he was you know, definitely a menacing presence in the backfield. So, you know, the North just couldn't really run the ball. And, you know, they had a hard time really completing much consistency in their pass game because of, you know, that pass rush. And, you know, the DBs were really good for the South. So they're just faster. And they were surprisingly very disciplined. Both teams actually were very disciplined in terms of penalties. You know, just the North, yes, made those turnovers. That's where the you know, they weren't as sharp and some of the speed. But for the whole coaching turmoil, you know, the South just had one turnover on a long pass, and they didn't have very many penalties. So they were the better team. They left a lot of points on the board, though. Could have been a different score, but still pretty convincing for the South.
You know, you were talking about the penalties. Very impressive. You know, normally I see, you know, both teams just having so much pride in their side of the county. Just what I see after the game, you know, when South wins, they show that off, and deservedly so, you know. So the penalty bug was definitely not there at all. You know, seeing Anthony Munoz finishing off that first half with a touchdown, I was very impressed with thinking, you know, the North might have something cooking. You know, he had a hard time, and sort of flanking from Cotillo, that line had a hard time. And what shocked me was J.P. Presley was telling me before the game, there's anything he's got the overhand on is his line. He's got a strong line, and they had the off night, I guess. Also, another press of Noah's, you know, the coaching change for the South. You know, I don't think it's ever happened where, like, a coach is let go, and then they have to hand the reins over to an assistant coach. You know, this year they decided to go with alternate league coaches, and it kind of backfired a little bit. Dan, you know, you were – I was unfortunately not there for those meetings. You know, you kind of help out with the South. I help out with the North. you know, what was the, you know, what came about with going with alternate league coaches? Because I know people were wondering how come, you know, Dan Davidson at Western isn't coaching, or another, a coach in the South that deserves a coach in the South?
Yeah, those are good questions. And I would expect those kind of questions for sure from any OC, you know, good OC football fans. And we all know, you know, Mike, you and I all know there's some great OC football fans out there. But the explanation is that, you know, Rich Fisher, you know, committed to coaching this game in mid-August. That was when he was when we finalized it, and I talked to him about it before that as well. So that's the inside scoop, because we were trying to and it didn't really work out in trying to grow the game a little bit. We wanted to get a coach in place because these guys, the coaches, are so busy. The game is now, it's a new time of the year now. It's in January. So it's right in, these guys are the football coaches and their staffs, you know, who knows how long they're playing. They get done, you know, late November, could be early December. And these guys have to plan, and it's right in the, you know, the game does take some preparation, and it takes a lot of work on the coaches' staff. So that's Rich Fisher was the guy that had, you know, was one of the coaches that really caught my eye in the South last year. You know, I thought he, you know, just 1 year ago, things were a lot different at Santa Margarita, where, you know, they were scored 35 points against Modern Day that blew people away, that Santa Margarita scored that many points. That was Rich Fisher's second year. They almost beat St. John Bosco. They lost by 2 points. They beat Jay Sarah. And, you know, and the previous year they had beaten Sarah of Gardena in the first round of the playoffs. So I think Rich Fisher is an excellent coach. I've covered their games. I think he knows his football, and I thought he was definitely a deserving candidate. And, you know, they have a, you know, it's a tough situation in the Trinity League with the expectations. They lost a lot of close games in 2018, and it's a pressure cooker in the Trinity League now. I don't know all the reasons behind why, you know, Santa Margarita let him go. I know I was surprised because, like I said, I've been working with Coach Fisher on this game for a long time, and I was surprised as anybody that this was coming down. I did know that, I mean, of course, I knew that there were expectations and some things that, you know, after the season that I know Santa Margarita wanted to improve on, no doubt, especially with the new, you know, assistant principal of athletics in charge there, Jim Hartigan, who's you know, another great football man. So I knew there was definitely things that they needed to work on, but that's how Coach Fisher came about, and I think he was a, you know, very solid pick that he earned. And same with JP. You know, these are guys that are playing the best competition at, you know, Orange Lutheran, and I think it was, you know, yes, it, you know, certainly it's never happened before where, you know, coach got fired. It's a good point, Manny, that you raise. You know, when you say like, hey, maybe it didn't work out, because maybe you have to look at it like, you know, and maybe your point is, hey, maybe we shouldn't have Trinity League coaches coach the game because they could get fired. But then if you have a chance to get, you know, Coach Rollinson next year for the North, of course you're going to try to get – any of these guys are great coaches as well. And if you have a chance to get them, I mean, you know, you're going to want to get them. You know, they're all outstanding coaches. So.
Yeah, you know, and then, you know, sending these emails to these coaches about their nominations, and in the email I mentioned, you know, J.P. Presley, Orange Lutheran's a coach, you know, and some coaches said, all right, you know, that's just, you know, he's what he's doing in the Trinity League is pretty darn impressive. You know, he's got to battle with all those teams, and he's in the middle of the road there. But there are some coaches that said, you know, Dan Davidson at Western definitely deserves it, you know, what he did. And I'm right, and I think you and I both agree, and I'm sure Michael agrees as well, that he definitely did deserve it, you know, what he did at Western. But, you know, I stand by JP. You know, he did a phenomenal job setting that up with, you know, I think he had a hard time getting the Trinity League players, more so than Rich did. And Anthony Munoz and Riley Flinken have done tremendous jobs at their schools, but, you know, very different when they run into Trinity League guys, Mission Viejo guys. And we definitely saw that they had a hard challenge when they ran into, you know, Victor Canton. But, Michael, you know, I'm sure you're seeing it from the side, you know, what are your thoughts on just the coaching, decisions, and then, you know, just a unique little change, 2 weeks before the All-Star game?
Well, I'm very against the notion that there's a Trinity League bias, because Dan knows this and you know this. You guys have gone through a lot of public school coaches the last few years for the All-Star game. Jaime Ortiz, Coach Mitchell at El Medina, Coach Boucher did it a few years ago. Coach Masarenka did it. Coach Tegenfort from Santa Ana. So there have been. Public schools are very well represented in the coaches and in the players of the All-Star game. The Trinity League is just tough. I mean, everyone can speculate as to why Coach Fisher was let go. A lot of transfer stuff happening at Santa Margarita. They're not getting the guys they used to get. But it's like Dan said, it's impossible to predict what's going to happen in the Trinity League coaching carousel. So in August, when you guys make these decisions, it's just impossible.
Stepping away from the All-Star game, you know, I was definitely surprised that Coach Fisher was let go after just three seasons, after what he did in year two. I was thinking, you know what, tough year. You know, his seniors are gone, and he's going to hopefully get a fourth year where he can bounce that program back up. You know, Michael, Dan, you said you guys were surprised, but, you know, just explain, you know, were you expecting something bigger in year four for Coach Fisher?
I saw him play Downey last year, and it was a season opener, and I was surprised at how young they were. But, you know, Pierre Castelli is a great quarterback, and they had a lot of sophomores that were getting a lot of playing time. I think the problem with San Margarita is they're not attracting the transfers they used to attract. You used to always see, you know, so-and-so from Tribuco Hills transfers to San Margarita, or a Mission Viejo good junior that wants to get, you know, on a bigger stage, transfers to San Margarita, and you're not seeing that anymore. And I think that when, you know, you see some of their top starters leaving for other Trinity League schools, it's, you know, that's going to rub Coach Hartigan the wrong way. And he's done the whole thing before in the Trinity League. He knows how it is. So I think that the issue with San Margarita is lately they're not bringing in the transfers they used to bring in. Castelli was a transfer from Bosco, but I think that in the Trinity League today, a lot of it is the off-season transfer carousel. And unfortunately, San Margarita hasn't really been able to thrive in that environment the last 2 years.
You know, Dan, you know, you said you're surprised about it, but every time you know, you see a change in Santa Margarita, Henry Welch's name is popped back in, and then Jim Hartigan's running the athletic program over there, and so now his name's back in. I mean, he's the guy that built SM from the ground up, you know, back in the 80s. Do you feel, you know, Henry Welch might jump out of and put his Superman suit on, or Jim Hartigan might take over the program he once started, or, you know, where's the direction going to go from here on out for SM?
Well, it's an interesting, it's a really interesting job. I mean, and I think it's definitely generating a lot of buzz. It's probably it's the most talked about job opening in Southern California right now. And it's, you know, there's some talent there, led by Peter Castelli, who's going to be a junior, who is a transfer from St. John Bosco, whose guy I think is going to be a big time quarterback. He's a Pac-12 talent. I think I don't think it's going to, you know, Hartigan, it starts with him, because he's the assistant principal in charge of athletics, and he's, you know, the founding football coach, and he's a former Orange County Coach of the Year, CIF champion, built the program up at Jay Serra as well, took them from a lower level team all the way up to Division I. He's coached at Clovis West, you know, coached against De La Salle, Modern Day. He's beaten Modern Day. He's been to the top of the mountain. And he says he's not – he says he's retired as a football coach. And I'll take him on his word on that. A lot of people that I talk to, other coaches, don't believe that. But I think Coach Hartigan is, you know, real serious about the big responsibility he has, you know, replacing, you know, the legendary athletic director there at Santa Margarita, Rick Schaaf. It's a big job. So I think it's going to be, you know, his call. I don't think he goes a Harry Welch. I think he's going to look more of a long-term, you know, some stability, which I know is kind of maybe contradictory in the Trinity League these days, because there's so much turnover. But I think they're going to want, you know, some stability. The models are, you know, like a Bruce Rollinson at Modern Day, or a Jason Negro at St. John Bosco. That's where they aspire to be. They want to compete with those schools. So I think they need, you know, a good kind of young, you know, proven coach as well that can give some stability, because they've had a lot of turnover. And they, you know, so I think one guy is Sergio Munoz, who's kind of been the right-hand man of Coach Hartigan at Santa Margarita and at J. Sarah and other stops. He's kind of been his top assistant. He's a vice principal, a vice president at Santa Margarita now. So I wonder about Sergio. You know, rumors have flown about, you know, Coach Chad Johnson at Mission. Well, you know, I don't know about those. But, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of good coaches in Southern California, you know, nationally. And Coach Hartigan is a really thorough guy that has a lot of contacts. So it'll be interesting, you know, how they go. You know, obviously Coach Fisher came from the college ranks, but didn't last too long, you know, only 3 years. You know, Orange Lutheran's previous coach, Chuck Peterson, he was only there for, you know, four or five years. He was a college assistant, pretty good one too. So Servite's got their Troy Thomas back, who gave him a lot of stability. He's on a second run. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, but it, all the cards and the questions all lie with Coach Hartigan, obviously. Athletic administrator.
I think, well, that'll be enough of that, the coaching stuff. Maybe next we'll talk about who's going to take over modern day with Rollo. And I did talk to Ron Amesbury and told me, you know, I might stick with the Trinity League coach next year for the All-Star game and just go after Rollo. I mean, it'd be nice way to have him go out. But so much time to think about that. Finally, before we let you go, Dan, you know, every year there's always people saying, you know, this player got snubbed or that player got snubbed, you know, or someone should have deserved a spot on the roster, you know. And I know that Valencia only won All-Star, you know, after what they did. I thought, you know, one of the running back, stand-up all-star best, should have got a shot in there. But anyone in the South, or maybe, you know, that you've seen in the North, anyone you feel that, man, they definitely deserve a spot on the roster?
Well, you know, the truth of it is, and I can always speak more, you know, for the South, you know, since that's, you know, the side I've been working with the last couple of years. For a long time, I was working with the North. We tried to just get the best players, and, you know, we tried to get it out there to all the coaches and, you know, talk to some players. And, you know, it's like I said, we tried to offer some kids early on in the process. You know, kind of the motto is we're trying to make it, you know, I think the game has a lot of potential. And there's, you know, I love seeing the faces of the kids afterwards and talking to them. They have a lot of fun at this game. And basically there's a lot of the top kids in Orange County, the, you know, Holinskis, the Brew McCoys, you know, Sean, Ryan, they all went to the, you know, and the other guy, you know, they went to the All-American game that's on NBC in San Antonio. And then there's other guys that played in the Under Armour game, and I think it's in Florida. So there's these national-type games, you know, in the month of January, maybe, you know, all those games are earlier in January. And this Orange County game is now in January. And what you're seeing is that change of date, which I was a proponent of, you know, for the last couple of years, this change of date has, you know, led to some more, you know, higher-level players, you know, as far as committing to the game and playing the game. And that's, you know, and I think because it was always in the summer and it had a lot of conflicts where kids are already enrolled in schools, they're heavily training with their colleges, and they don't really want to get hurt, you know, so close to, you know, training camp and stuff like that. And that would even affect kids that we're talking about, kids that were practicing, you know, with their junior college teams, Division III, Division II, 2AA. All these kids are all busy in the summer with their teams. So basically, you know, we're trying to get more kids, you know, by talking to them early in the winter. Hey, do you guys want to commit in the fall, I should say, you know, August, September, if they want to commit. And it could grow to that way, perhaps in the future. But I think that's where, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, like you have like JoJo Forrest, you know, Pac-12 signee playing in the game. He was fun to watch. You had, you know, Michael Callahan from Nueva Linda signed with Boise State, was in the game. First team all county lineman from Tesoro, Alec Bank. I mean, going to Harvard. I mean, he had some really good players in the game. So, you know, we try to throw it out there to as many guys as we can. I know, I'm sure some people in some schools maybe don't feel representative from some of the leagues. You know, we try our best to, you know, spread it out and try to get the best players. That's what it's about. You know, there was a player from the Pacific Coast League, from Woodbridge. So there was CVU League was represented. Obviously we talked about James Mott from St. Margaret's, they're a smaller school team that he really thrived in. And then there were some big players, obviously from the, Trinity and South Coast, but, it wasn't a bad mix. I think at the end of the day, we always try to, there's only certain many spots, but we can always try to do better to keep our, keep expanding the net, take a good look and make sure we're trying to get guys from different leagues and, trying to talk about diversity. I think one thing that I'll bring up next year is, trying to get legit long snappers in the game. I know there's some talk about getting long snappers, but keep looking at, the different leagues and the more you organize it, the more you grow it, maybe you can get some of those guys from a modern day or a Servite, get a couple of those guys. But in the South, there was only one Jay Sarah guy, Victor Clanton, and there were about three or four Santa Margarita. And that was it for the South on the Trinity.
I think he made up for it with the MSUBO kids, but, I'm sure, Olu was glad that they saw JoJo Forrest one more time. I'm being sarcastic about that. But it was a great game, defensively it was close throughout the whole time. And, like I said, Mill will have the long snapper in, and there's always room for improvement every year. Just because it becomes great doesn't mean we just stop. But, Dan, thanks for being on. I hope you get better, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Good luck with the podcast.